All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 is where we'll begin. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thank you, and be seated. Now, when we read this list, seldom, I think, do people, or not enough people, realize that actually this list is not talking about perilous times because of what lost people are doing that do not profess any religion of any kind, but these are said to be perilous times because these people profess to be godly and they are not. For it says down here, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now this morning, I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on this subject, and we'll be looking especially at verse 4, and we'll be looking at that part that says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, the title of our message is Intoxicated on Entertainment. Intoxicated on Entertainment. What I mean by that, I mean drunk on entertainment. Taken over, under the power of. I mean it, and I'm using the word intoxicated because we know what an intoxicated person is. A person is drunk, staggering about, just overtaken and overruled and under the control of the alcoholic beverage that they've consumed. Intoxicated on entertainment. Now, in our text, and that was verse 4, Paul told Timothy in this letter, and the Holy Spirit, of course, through the Apostle Paul, that in the last days, perilous times would come. And then he goes on to describe these times in that list that we've just read. One of the reasons, or one of the characteristics of those days, was that religious folk, people who professed to be at least nominal Christians, would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, the Holy Spirit says when this characteristic pops up, in a culture, not just a little bit, but when it becomes a prevailing characteristic, it is one of the symptoms of perilous times. Now, dear people, this morning, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, if that is what the condition of many that profess to be Christians becomes, perilous times are indicated. You look around you today, does this sound familiar to you? Let me put it a little bit plainer. Is this you? You profess to be a Christian, and yet actually you love pleasure, just pleasure, more than you love God. Then you're one of the indications that we're living in perilous times. Now, I looked at this list again, and this surely sounds like it's very similar to modern times, at least. If not exactly alike, it's pretty similar to it. Pretty similar. It appears that folks today are pleasure mad. Pleasure mad. Lost folks and professing Christians. Harmless pleasure and sinful pleasure. It seems like a good general statement would be is that people are just gluttons for pleasure today. Gluttons. In other words, the Bible talks about gluttony in reference to eating too much. And I use the word when it comes to pleasure. Gluttons of pleasure. Now, what I want to do this morning, though, is I want to narrow the field, and I don't want to keep the subject so broad till you can't get your arms around it. I want us to keep the subject limited to religious folks and churches in this message. I want us to look at churches, people who profess to be Christians, and the churches that they're members of. That's what I want us to look at. Because churches, as bodies, are intoxicated with, and they are seeking pleasure and providing pleasure as much as any others are today. It bothers me, dear people. Things certainly have changed over the years of my ministry, and they have certainly changed a lot within the past 30 years. I was studying in the book of Revelation yesterday, and I mentioned to my wife, this morning I believe it was, I mentioned to her last night, I said, from the time the letter was written by Paul to Ephesus, that's Ephesians in your Bible, till the time the letter is written to the church at Ephesus as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, there had been a lapse of time of from 30 to 40 years, and there are things that said about the church at Ephesus in the letter among the seven in Revelation that were not said about it back there in the letter to the Ephesians by Paul. And what had happened is that during the period of 30 to 40 years, there's no doubt that that church had gone from, as the old saying goes, A to Z, spiritually. And it's in big trouble in Revelation. Over a period of time of 30 to 40 years, thereabout. Then I stopped and I looked back at the time that I came to Oakdale. Now going on 39 years, 38 years. Listening to the tapes the other day that Sister Desi brought over of services we used to have when we were in the little rented building. Thinking about the people on that tape, thinking about the situation at that time, whenever we were in the little building, this church was just starting out. And I thought, times certainly have changed. And like the church at Ephesus, over a period of 30 years or better, the change has been for the worse. Even in the lives of some of the people that are on that tape, they are no ways close to what you thought they would have been at this time if you've been listening to them on that tape at that time. Young people who've now become parents who have completely failed. God failed their spouses and failed their children. And adults on there that are now very old people who are all failures for God. Things changed. And so as I look back on my ministry, I say things have changed. And I found myself wishing that spiritually the city of Oakdale was like it was when those tapes were made, Sister Desi. Things have changed. Things have changed. And so when I look at churches, I see over the span of my ministry that things have changed, because today churches, you know, they just seem to be seeking pleasure and seeking to give pleasure to lost people and saved people. That seems to be the thing that they're obsessed with or possessed with. Providing pleasure. Folks decide what church to attend and become a member of on the basis of the activities of that church, which include pleasure that's available. They don't do it on the basis of the preaching and practice of the Bible of that church, but what activities, what fun, what games, what pleasure. And now they're having cowboy church and cowboy this, and they all get together and everything. And here it is, pleasure. Let us have pleasure. We must have pleasure in the churches. This presents a problem for some of them because they don't have the extra money in the budget to do it with. So I guess they'll just have to get them some meat and go crawfishing. You can afford that if you ever get hard up. Remember, all you got to do is go down and buy an old slab of salt bacon. Cut it up in pieces, tie a string around it, get your little pole about 3 feet long, go down here to somewhere where there's crawfish and catch crawfish. You can always survive. Anybody can do that. If some churches are having financial problems, the Lord's going to have some more before it's over with, dear people, I fear. Because when you build a lot of real estate, a building up, buy a lot of real estate, build a lot of buildings, and your crowd shrinks, and you are in a mess, and you're trying to pay for all that, and then you've got to come up with a pleasure program for them too, money you don't have, you are in trouble. You got a lot of churches today that are in trouble, going to be in bigger trouble. Yet when we come to the Holy Bible, I ask you this question, where do we find scriptural support for entertaining and providing pleasure for folks, saved or lost? Where do we find that that's part of the responsibility of the Lord's churches? Where do we find that? I tell you, dear people, it's all summed up for us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and I'll read it for you to refresh your memory. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, one, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, two, teaching them, that's three, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and four, the promise, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There it is laid out in a nutshell, the duty of the church. And when you go through the book of Acts and when you go through the New Testament, where do you find that providing pleasure for its members or for visitors or for the lost world is part of the job or mission of the New Testament church? And yet that's what we meet with on every side, and folks have become spoiled to this. And this has become the overriding thing. At a time we have never, I don't think, as far as I know, as a nation, needed good, sound Bible preaching and teaching churches today. And we have them weakening because people are misunderstanding, they've been distracted, they've been deceived, and believe that it's our job now that we owe the members of a church and we owe the unsaved entertainment and pleasure in order to get them to come. And that's missing it. That's not biblical. Not biblical at all. Listen to this. This is not a new problem, but it's a big problem and new for America, I think. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, an old Baptist that lived from 1834 to 1892, said this, and I agree with him because it fits today. The devil has seldom done a cleverer thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people with a view to winning them. My first contention is that providing amusement for the people is nowhere spoken of in the Scriptures as a function of the church. If it is a Christian work, why did not Christ speak of it? Again, providing amusement is the direct antagonism to the teaching and life of Christ and all His apostles. End of quotation. Amen. You heard what he said? Amen. Where is it in the Bible? Where did we find this? People, Bible, Baptist people are supposed to be people of the book. Which book are we following today? That's the question. But you know, there's some folks in a panic today who cry out, what are we to do? What do you mean? The people will not come if we don't cater to their hunger for entertainment and pleasure and fun and games. They just won't come anymore if we don't begin to offer these things. Times have changed, you know, preacher, and it requires new methods. And when I hear a preacher begin to talk like that, I begin to be a little apprehensive about it and concerned, because I say, here comes a problem. Here comes a problem. Most of the time I'm right. They say, we've got to change or die. Change or die. Sounds like the political world to me. Doesn't it, you? Change, change, change. Anybody ever stop and say, what are we going to change to? Are we going to change from something that's bad to something that's worse? Some folks just like change. Oh, well, it's different. I've never hanged by my neck. It'd be different from any experience I've ever had. I have no desire to do that. It could be fatal. You see? I've never driven a car at 100 miles an hour with my eyes shut down a country road with nothing but pine trees on each side. I've never done that. It would be change for me. I've never done that before. Don't have any desire to do that. Listen, dear people. I'm telling you this morning, this old preacher that lived back there years ago, it was hitting it on the head. He said this, beware of the leaven, that's the destructive forces, of worldly pleasures, for its working is silent but sure, and a little of it will leaven the whole lump. It'll take over, in other words, and destroy. Keep up the distinction between a Christian and an unbeliever, and make it clearer every day. Avoid the appearance of evil. But we must not be too rigid, says one. There is no fear of that in these days. That's what he said back in his time. Well, if he could see now, I'd say, and certainly not ours. Listen what he says. You will never go too far in holiness, nor become too like your Lord Jesus. If anybody accuses you of being too strict and precise, do not grieve, but try to deserve that charge. See? I cannot suppose that at the last great day our Lord Jesus Christ will say to anyone, you were not worldly enough. End of quotation. And I say, amen. He's dead. He sells as many books now, dead, as more than a lot of fellows do, and he's quoted from all directions. But if he thought he had a problem in his day, what would he say now? He sounds like he's living in our time, talking about pleasure, talking about, you see, the church being warning the church that this is a slippery slope to go down, that you can get away from God and out of God's will, that it'd be detrimental and harmful to a New Testament church. And I won't even talk about anybody else. Independent Baptists, they need this warning badly. Independent Baptists today try to build churches on singings. We'll have anybody and anything come sing for us regardless of what they believe and so forth, as long as we figure we can get a crowd. That's right. What encouragement is there for godly people to sing if the crowd goes to the people who just believe anything and do anything? That's the way. That's the thing. You see a lot of churches now, every time you turn around, they're having some singers. Let me tell you what that's an indication of. It's an indication of desperation. We need to get a crowd coming. We need to get a crowd coming. That's the way to get a crowd. That's the way to get a crowd. Well, I suppose that there are other ways you could get a crowd too. For instance, if you had a night here, whenever you come and sit in the bench, and if you sat in the right place, and we'd go out there during the service and pull off a number, and it'd be the lucky number, and we'd give away $100. We could get a pretty good crowd like that, couldn't we? And look, we could even justify that. Those people that get that $100 could then take that $100 and help somebody with it or do something with it. Maybe it be somebody that needed it. Look at that, how we're justifying that. Look at that. This is the kind of stuff we see today. You see, I'm not talking about harmless activities such as hobbies and fishing. That's not what I'm talking about. That you do to relax and enjoy time with your family, even though that can become a snare for even sinners saved by grace. That can become a snare. Anything can. If you're a sinner saved by the grace of God, as one fellow said, we don't do near what we are capable of doing. Now, I mean in sin. We're capable of a lot of things. See? But I'm talking about the sad situation of our day where entertainment has become the basis for Sunday services or other services and a means for enticing people to come to church. Now, they're wanting us all to lose weight today, which is bad news for churches that are feeding people to get them to come to church. Because if you think people are going to show up for a head of lettuce, split up in three or four leaves, Rita and I are not going to show up. See? You're going to have to feed them. And I know, as I said before, some people, that's what they do to get people to come. They say, we got a problem. What should we do? Let's eat. Well, the eating is causing a problem. Well, let's eat. See? We've got to do something today. And eating is not bad, as you know. I do too much of it. Eating is not a sin, but if a church begins to think that it has to include such things as this to get people to come, folks, that's a clear indication that something's wrong. Not necessarily with the church. If it's standing for the truth, but that it's beginning to get away from the truth. And let me tell you something, dear people. The church's work, and you never forget this, as given in the Bible, an example I just gave you in Matthew 28:18-20, is to preach the gospel. And when people make professions of faith, to baptize them and then teach them how to live right. I said, teach them how to live right. I picked up denomination after denomination's website on the internet, and it sounds like psychological jargon. And they don't say to sinners, you're going to hell and we preach the blood of Jesus Christ and you need to be saved. They're talking about, are you feeling depressed? We have something to pick you up and give you life worth living. Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. You can go buy that in a bottle. It's called tranquilizers. That's not our job. Our job is to preach the gospel and teach people how to live. Do you feel wanted? Do you feel needed? Do you feel connected? I read this stuff. Oh, we will give you purpose. We will. Come on, man. This is what's wrong with churches today. We are trying to sound like we're part of the world. We're not part of the world. We're supposed to be saved out of this. Come on over. You'll have a good time. We have plenty of activities going on. And I happen to know in my family a man whom that appeals to very much. You play ball, you need a ball player. Well, he can't do too much ball playing anymore. He's got too old and too big. But he would be attracted to it. Yes, sir? Come on over. We got a good ball team and we need a pitcher. The Lord is leading over there. He is. He is. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, I'm going to tell you something. If a church is going to ever win a ball game, they're going to have good players. So get out, beat the bushes, and when you find them, get them to church some way. Sounds just like the average Baptist church today. We won't even throw the others in. That's it. They come to church, what they say? We beat them, we beat them, we beat them, we're going to beat them. We got them, they got our player. No, they didn't. Did you hear what they said at that ball game? Yeah, they said, uh-huh, you see what went on there? Yeah, I did too. Oh, yeah, the Lord, oh, come on, man. That's not what you find in the Bible that God's people have a church for. And I like sports as much as anybody. But when it becomes the reason and the means that you attract people, you're in trouble. Lost people are lost. And one thing, the church cannot financially afford to keep up with the world, in case you haven't noticed. So the church is going to take money that ought to be used for the gospel, and it's going to put it in fun and attraction. That's terrible. Some churches panicked by a shriek in attendance and a decrease in giving are deciding to give people what they want to get them to come. They have what the churches want. That's money and presence, body count. And so they said, we'll give them what they want. Well, they try, you know. They try. But they can't compete with the world, but they try. And they get very worldly. I call this, you know, the Rick Warren type of Christianity in church. I understand, and I read when he got ready to start a church, he went out and did a survey and said, what kind of a church would you people come to? What would you prefer? I would not go in this community and ask that at all. I am not going to have nudists down here stripping off for people. I'm not going to serve alcoholic beverages. I went around the Oakdale community and asked what so some of these jokers around here what they'd come for. I wouldn't even go to the place. I wouldn't even come to the church service after I got them here. Since when is the church supposed to go out and ask backslidden, if ever born again, Christians, lukewarm Christians, and lost sinners what kind of a church they would come to and then cater to their desires? And this church is one of the leading churches of the powerful Southern Baptist Convention and has great numbers. And I personally disagree with Mr. Warren just about any way he wants to turn. Yet he has influenced a lot of people with his purpose-driven philosophy. Boy, it hooked a lot of them, didn't it? I'd like to have a bait that good to go trout fishing with. Joey, I'd whip you every time I went. Yeah. Rick Warren type of Christianity in church. Give them what they want and they'll come. That's what Jesus said. Give them what they want and they'll come. Huh? When that bunch walked away from Jesus and the 12 disciples, Jesus said, boys, what are we going to do? And they said, we got to give them what they want and they'll come. Jesus said, all right, find out what they want and we'll give it to them. Right? Must have been the latest Bible put out. Huh? Because it's not the Bible. Jesus turned around and said, you leaving too? Is that what you're made out of? You know, stronger than that? You don't have any more than that? Average Baptist preacher today would die in his tracks before he'd ever use that kind of language to a bunch. He's scared to death. He has no boldness. He has no courage to preach the word of the Lord. And somebody said, you don't care whether you have... I care, I care. God knows I care. But dear people, I'm going to tell you something right now. There is a limit to caring, and that caring has to be within the bounds of God's word. And churches today are becoming nothing more than playgrounds at a time whenever we need something other than playgrounds. What would you think of a doctor who every time he was needed to save some person's life was on the golf course and would not come home or to the clinic? Would he be much of a doctor? The church is busy playing today while sin is abounding. Among the youth, among the middle-aged, among the old, sin is taking over, as it were. It comes in like a flood. And the church is playing games and trying to figure out what the latest game is they can play. And buying games. Buying worldly games and providing them to get the young people to come. Come on a special night and play games. My goodness gracious alive. Where's the scripture? That's what happens whenever you breed disrespect for the Word of God and you treat it like it's a comic book or something like this. And people get to the place where, I choose this Bible because it's easier for me to read. You don't choose Bibles because they're easy to read. You choose them because they are God's Word and the truth. Believe me, Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece were white as snow. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Hauled it to school one day, which was against the rule, and so forth, and so forth, and so on. That's simple, isn't it? If that's all you learn, go try to get a job on that, Cody. We all know that, folks, there's something that counts more than that. What's easy is not always what's needed. In fact, I've always said this to young people. Don't try to do what's easy, because everybody wants to do that. Find something that's hard to do and do that. That'll be a better career. Sure will. I mean, if you get a job out here digging ditches, you realize they don't give aptitude tests before they hire you to dig ditches. They never say, I'm going to take this test. We got this ditch to dig. I want you to take this test to see whether you have an aptitude for digging ditches. They just said, the shovel's over there. This ditch is going this way. Get in there and get after it. Did you get any gloves? Because you're going to get some blisters. Huh? That's all. And I'm not saying I dug ditches. So somebody said, he's putting down ditch diggers. You know, in this day, you got to be careful. You offend people so much. Everybody is offended about something today. If you say something about being fat, somebody says, I'm fat and I'm offended. Well, get skinny. I'm fat and I'm not offended. I'm fat and I say, that fellow can see. They say, I'm fat. I say, he tells the truth. Nah, here comes this guy along here and says, my family's all on the big boned side. And I count my money 10 times and he makes changes to make sure he didn't beat me. He's lying. Big boned. Man, bones don't shake like that. That's fat. Everybody is offended. Nobody's ugly anymore. You say somebody's ugly, say, oh, ugly. You don't know nobody's ugly. You see, that's all part of the political correct stuff today. Nothing is any better than anything else. All things are equal. The lie is as good as the truth. The truth is as good as the lie. One religion is as good as the next. You see? One person is as good looking as the next one. Now, I know better than that. Oh, everything. It just, you know, one country is as good as another. Beg your pardon, if they're over there where they're using the machetes to cut your head off, it's a little bit better over here in the United States. All this you're not supposed to know and notice. It's a crazy world. It's a crazy world. I'm holding on to my sanity just as hard as I can. I'm not going to give it up, boy. I'm going to die with mine. I am. All right, listen. Dear people, absent from too many churches today is good, solid Bible preaching and teaching and worship and service. What do they have over at your church? Oh, we just come together and we sing praises to the Lord and we pray and we teach the Bible and we preach the Bible and we have some fellowship and, we put out gospel tracts and spread the word and so forth. That's it. What? I'd get bored with that. You wouldn't if you'd get saved or right with God. That's exactly what you find in the New Testament church. I just told you what you found in the New Testament church. Did you ever read it closely? Huh? Bored. Christian people supposedly bored with what the New Testament says is exactly what the New Testament churches went through. Let me tell you, a lot of professing Christians today would be bored with Jesus Christ if he came and physically, personally stood in church. That's right. And to preach to them. Don't tell him who it is and say, how'd you like him? No, I said, I'll tell you one thing right now. I am disappointed. I am disappointed. I am disappointed. And there are some people I don't think they're going to heaven because when they walked in, they said, is this all there is to it? You don't have anything other than this. Yeah. Well, I wish I'd have known this. Because if down at the other place known as hell it's any better than this, I would have blown down there. There's some excitement down there. That's how bad off people are today. Let me tell you, dear people, New Testament Christianity. Yes, simple New Testament Christianity. Not fun and games, not entertainment. Rocked the world spiritually and morally. While in many cases, today's brand of Christianity rocks everyone to sleep. The sleep of death spiritually. Say, what's that? Oh, we had a big crowd and we had a good time. That doesn't tell me anything. People going to a football game can come and say the same thing. People going to the fair can say the same thing. That's the way they describe it, you see. That's the way people think that's a success. Oh, we have a good time. You had a lot of fun. Everybody just laughed. We just died laughing. Everybody just, yeah, oh, shut up! Let's get serious. What do you need to do for the Lord that's biblical? That's what I'm interested in, dear people, today. And that's become very unpopular, even among those who call themselves independent Baptists. I haven't been asked to preach a meeting in a long time. A fellow said to me at the last, about 2 years ago, said, I want to have you come preach a meeting for me. I hadn't been had anybody say that to me in a long time. I used to preach a lot of meetings. That was back before they all started worrying about you running their people off. They worked too hard. They burped them, changed their diapers, and they put them over the shoulder. They rocked them to sleep. And now they don't want you to run them off. They'll destroy the spirituality of the church. They'll bring the standards of the church down before they'll run them off or offend them. They'll offend God before they'll offend some lukewarm bunch of worldly-minded Christians or lost people that have got on the church rolls. Imagine that. Save me the trouble. That's it. It's sad, folks. It's sad. You see, if the devil isn't bothered by church, it's not doing its job for God. It's not. Check the New Testament churches out in the Bible, folks. Check them out. Check them out. Check them out. The world wasn't happy with them. People that were getting saved and being taught the Word of God, they were walking with God. The churches weren't perfect by any means, but there were people walking with God. And there was a time whenever it didn't matter. Nobody cared about what kind of entertainment. They never thought of church as entertainment. Is that what we want our children to grow up thinking of church as a place where you go to have fun and games? Is that the thing? Is that what we want our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all to be going to church for? Is because they have a lot of fun? Fun will not build strong character, dear people. Fun will not build strong New Testament churches that we need today. I have nothing against innocent fun in the right time and the right places, and you know that. But churches are going in debt today, building centers for recreation in a desperate move to try and get their congregation up. And they've gotten so bad off until they've lowered their standards to where they're going out and getting the so-called rock Christian singers to come to try to get the young people, the pampered, spoiled, ungodly, rotten, hell-bound youth of our day today are not in any position to dictate to the Lord Jesus Christ churches what goes on down there. We'll preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them if they don't turn to Christ, they'll die and go to hell. We will not, as long as I'm pastor, by the grace of God, kowtow to that bunch. Neither, if I was still a family, a parent, would I want to take my family to one of those places. If I want my children to have entertainment, I'll take them to the fair. I'll take them to the zoo. First thing, I'll never go to the zoo expect to find them having church. And I don't ever get disappointed. But you get disappointed if you go to a lot of churches expecting to be having churches, they're having a zoo. This is animal day. Yeah, everybody both their animals. We're all showing off our animals. Animal day. Animal day. What in the world are we coming to? Souls dying, going to hell? Sin rampant? Prisons full and running over and they have to turn them loose in some places? And the church is playing. Beg your pardon? What in the world is going on? Let me hurry along here. My time is leaving. Listen, dear people. The model for New Testament churches is found in the New Testament, not in the purpose-driven church book. No, sir. No, sir. I don't have to ask Rick Warren or anybody else what I'm supposed to do as a pastor of this church. In fact, I'll tell Mr. Warren, according to the Bible, what he's doing wrong. I got a book that God gave me to protect me from being misled by men who think that the church is supposed to cater to the world. The type of church a professing Christian seeks gives a good idea of the type of Christian he or she is. We have them called here sometimes, you know. And the way I got it figured out like this, mellow churches, that means half-rotten churches, for mellow Christians, half-rotten Christians. That's right. Mellow for mellow. Call over, come over, you know, say, what? One preacher said, I am tired of these people calling me up and giving me the third degree on the telephone about church. Because I know that our church is strong enough and firm enough on the faith and on the Bible that if that's what they're looking for, they can find it there. So I'm going to quit sitting on that phone for 30 minutes answering all their questions. They can come see you. I'm tired of that. We're just not there to sit there and read them a menu. And I said, old boy's got it. I think I'll quit it too. Next guy calls me and says, you got a New Testament church? I say, yep. And they start saying, what do you believe about debt? And I say, sir, we got a New Testament church. You want the times? You come. You visit with us. You like it? Fine. We like you? Fine. Because it goes two ways. We don't like you. We don't want you either. They think we? They think we're going to just naturally want them? Beg your pardon. They say, if you don't, that's it. You see? That's it. I mean, dear people, this is age. This is some age, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this as I draw to a close. Are you this morning intoxicated on entertainment? Has that become the god of your life? Oh, I can't sit down. I've got to be laughing. I've got to be full of activity. And I've got to be jumping and running. I've got to go to church. I can barely stand it. It's so quiet and I have to stop and I have to think. And it's just not all the noise and excitement and all it gets. You're in bad shape. Bad shape. Intoxicated on entertainment. Are you turned off by a New Testament type of church service? Let me ask you, you come to your church and you say, I get so bored. Let me tell you something. I preach the Word of God. We sing for the glory of God. We pray. We do what the Bible says. If that's not enough for you, get right! Get right! Get right! We don't intend to change. We're not good. We got enough problem now. We need to go up, not down. So don't give us your list. We're not interested. We're not interested. That's it. If you're turned off by New Testament type churches, church services, then beware. There's something wrong spiritually. You need to repent. You need to get right with God. When lost folks need the church, they need to hear the gospel. When they come to church, they need to hear the gospel. That's what they need, folks. They're going to die and go to hell. That's a little bit worse than pulling an abscess tooth or having an appendectomy or tonsillectomy. They're going to die and go to hell, and sometimes the only time they're going to hear it is when they come. Maybe one time. Somebody said, well, I brought them one time. We didn't have anything to appeal to them, so he left. They hear the gospel. That's probably more times than they'll hear at the average church. At least the Holy Spirit's got something to work with now, if they've never heard it before. And when saved folks come to church, they need the Bible preached to them to tell them how to live right. And there's not too many of them know how to do it, or they're not doing it anyway. That's it. That's it. Yeah? Come see something that you don't see every day. What is it? A church that really tries to do it the New Testament way. Oh, you mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. God help us today to sober up intoxicated people, intoxicated on entertainment. At least God help us not to copy them. Yes, sir? I'd rather have six people, and those six people love the Lord and want to serve Him, than to have 600 built on pleasure and satisfying of the flesh and catering to their desires. They say, you won't ever have a very big church. I say, well, then, so be it. I'd rather be faithful than to be big. I'd rather be faithful than to be big. Because that's what my Lord said. He didn't say be big unto death. He said be faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life. That's what He said.